Good morning, and welcome to the Garden Conversation on this beautiful solstice day here in the middle of the winter. And I have Mandy Ramsey with me here today.
Hi, Mardell. Thanks for having me.
Sure. And I asked Mandy here because she's the person that I know who plants by the moon the most. And so when I thought about doing a solstice show, the first thing that my brain went to was that, planting by the moon. But I ended up doing a little bit more research that took me into not only the moon, but by how light affects plants. And so we're going to start out with talking about that a little bit. And then I'm going to tap into Mandy has her notebook here of years of planting records, which I am fascinated by. So, but first of all, I want to share some of the things that I learned. I've been gardening a long time, and it never really, I didn't know this, that plants are affected more by the amount of night than the amount of daylight. It's the research that's coming out now that, so there are long day plants, there are short day plants. In fact, some of you might recognize that there are short day plants. They need less light, so they're going to bloom when the light gets less. And some of you will recognize that poinsettia, Christmas cactus, and chrysanthemums. Now, I love chrysanthemums, mm-hmm. but I can't ever get them to bloom until September mm-hmm. or October. So, and then there's long day plants, which are the things that we grow a lot here because we have long days, lettuce, spinach, peppers, that sort of thing. And then there's some day neutral plants, and those are ones that don't really care. And that's tomatoes, corn, cucumbers as some of the examples. So that was interesting to me that the night was so important. And the other thing that I found that was new to me was that most of us are familiar with these plants that their leaves fold up, like clover. I can't think of, well, there's acacia. I can't think of other plants, but there are plants that where the leaves fold up. And the research is finding out that they're not folding up because they're cold or anything like that. They're folding up because they're protecting themselves against moonlight. Isn't that amazing? So speaking of moonlight, there are some plants that don't protect themselves from moonlight. They thrive in the moonlight. Mm-hmm. So I'm fascinated and I'm learning that the moon and night of where we are at right now, a lot of that right now, affects plants. Mm-hmm. So tell me what your experience is, Mandy, with planting and growing by the moon.
I've played around. I was my first summer here 24 years ago. I had the Old Farmer's Almanac mm-hmm. as my garden journal, and they had a little lunar planting guide. And I copied it into the back of my garden mm-hmm. journal, and I brought it here with me today. So there are certain phases of the moon that are more favorable to plant certain types of crops. And if you think about it, in a new moon, as it starts waxing to fullness, the sap is rising, right? Okay. Just like there's this gravitational shift in the moon affects the tides, it affects water, mm-hmm. it affects that in our body. Well,
it affects plants too
in the way a seed would absorb mm-hmm. water. So I just started playing around with planting during the different cycles of the moon. Then I took it a next step further and planting in different signs. So for the moon planting guide, new to first quarter is when you would plant your above ground crops. These are things like asparagus, cabbage, cauliflower, leafy things like lettuce, leek, spinach. And if you can, you try to do that in the most fruitful signs, the most fertile signs in the zodiac, which would be Cancer, Scorpio, Taurus, and Pisces. So the reality living in Haines, Alaska, when we have this short growing season, you can't always do that.
Do it by the signs.
So it's not a hard, fast rule, but it's something to really be curious about and take notes and experiment and go, whoa, when I planted in Scorpio, in that rising energy of that new to waxing moon, the full moon, notice what happens. Just play around with it.
And keep records.
And so, keep records. Yeah, right. So this is talking about from the new to first quarter, and then first quarter to full is when you plant the above crops with a seed you can see. So think about that. A pepper is a seed you can see if you open it up.
Seeds that you can see inside of your
fruit or flower, like a bean, a grain, a cucumber, a tomato, or a pepper.
Okay.
So then on the full moon to the last quarter, the energy now is drawing down. In yoga, we call that apana. It's that grounding force, right? So the sap is going back to the earth. So that's when you'd want to plant your things that go down into the earth. Exactly. So you plant your bulbs, your root crops, carrots, turnips, garlic, onion, radish. I found it interesting they listed strawberry in there in the Old Farmer's Almanac.
As far as a root crop.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? Because I see that more as a fruit with seed. But I'm not going to argue. They know their their stuff. And then the last quarter to the new moon, I write this every journal because it says it. If you must plant, do so in a fruitful sign.
So you shouldn't be planting during that time.
So during that time is when you're supposed to undertake weeding, cultivating, pest control, and adding fertilizer and amending your soil.
So that's basically 7 days before the full moon, right? Do I have those quarters right? Yep. So about 7 days before the full moon, we really should not be planting anything.
Yeah, and yet it's like, you know, a cycle of the moon is about 29 and a half days. And yet we have such a short growing season here.
Yeah.
And after the ladies at the farm taught me that May full moon, after that is the last frost. So you don't plant until after that full moon. So then you're not going to just only plant root things at that time.
At some point, you just have to get your garden in.
Exactly. So that's when I started also trying to explore with the Farmer's Almanac and other permaculture philosophies started talking about also the fruitful signs. So that would be Cancer, Scorpio, Pisces, and then the semi-fruitful are Taurus, Capricorn, and Libra. And then it said the barren signs were Leo, Virgo, Aquarius, and Gemini. And I have to say, as woo-woo as it may sound, I have planted lobelia. I have planted zucchini. I've planted lettuce and basil in a barren sign, and they were just germination rate spotty. So, and I don't know if it was the sign or the seed or what, but then I've just been really trying to plant in those fruitful or semi-fruitful signs, and if I can, in the right jive of the moon.
Yeah, well, it's something to definitely pay attention to because all of us have had those experiences of why isn't these plants? I'm doing it the same as I did it last year. Why aren't they growing? And the thing is that as you explained, this is not just all woo-woo. It is based on some very strong science.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And, as many of old myths and whatnot are based on a scientific sort of thing. And that's definitely the way that this moon planting is turning out. So.
And for people wanting more information, there's a calendar called the Nature Datura Calendar, and it's based on biodynamic farming. So if this is piquing your interest, you know, you're sitting here right now, about the holidays are about to begin. That might be a really nice gift to get yourself.
Oh, what a good
calendar
idea.
Calendar like that you can just explore as you're looking through your seed catalogs, thinking how you want to plant, what you want to plant. And also, one of the quotes from permaculture, one of the originators of permaculture, David Holmgren, I wanted to bring this quote because it's something to think about. Good design depends on a free and harmonious relationship to nature and people. in which careful observation and thoughtful interaction provide the design, the inspiration, the repertoire, and the patterns. So you are a part of that cycle, and you are in harmony with that cycle in your land. So why wouldn't you take it a step further and do it with your planting so you can get the best yield, right, and be in the flow instead of fighting it and wasting time and money and resources.
And I think there's a real advantage to paying attention to it because it's happening whether we are aware of it or not. So many of these cycles and things are going on. And if we're, I mean, we can either just bumble along and get lucky or unlucky about things, or we can pay attention and actually learn and do something.
And for those of us who struggle to have a green thumb.
That's not you, Mandy.
I feel like it is. So I have used all the help from the universe that I can have. I know, you know, back in the fall when I'm planting my garlic and my tulips and my crocus, I always try to check in with what sign we're in astrologically and the energy of the moon just to see. And, you know, I thankfully right now it's working. So when it works, it's just keep rolling with it, you know. But you learn that by doing your own experiments.
Yeah. And having a journal like that. Yeah. So, again, one of the things besides the what I found interesting, the science behind this, what I found interesting was not only that the water gets pulled up and down, as you said, as, I mean, it makes sense. We see it every day in the tides. Why wouldn't it be happening on the Earth the same way as it's happening in the ocean? So there's that. And then there's the gravitational pull that, you know, we're pretty accustomed to roots grow downward and stems grow upward. And that's what plants do. And we've all, if we've accidentally planted a garlic bulb upside down, it finds its way.
It finds its way.
it's kind of amazing. So, so yeah, it's based on science. We're not talking about just woo-woo stuff here today, but I find it very fascinating. But, you know, I want to say that it's not only light and moon and all of that that affects plants. Anytime I did research, that was it was always a caveat that was talked about, that temperature has a whole lot to do with it as well, and life cycle of a plant. So you can't just make an assumption that, oh, I've planted it at the wrong time, or it's one factor. Those of us who garden a lot realize that there are many, many factors, and it's what makes gardening either fun or challenging, depending upon your perspective, is it's not a linear thing. It's not black and white. There's lots of factors that go into why something's healthy or not healthy. Okay, so there were a couple other little tidbits that I thought was interesting. One of the articles that I was reading was encouraging gardeners to do kind of what you're saying, Mandy, is pay attention. And one of the ways to pay attention is to mark on your calendar when you have 10 hours of daylight, when you have 12 hours of daylight, and then watch and see and make notes. The magic number seems to be plants need 10 hours of light, basically, to thrive. Yes, we've all had plants that survive in our winters with less. But I wouldn't say I've had too many thrive that way. So 10 is kind of the magic number, but it it might be a good exercise for those of us who have not done this is to actually look it up. It's easy to find on online, and this Farmer's Almanac actually has the schedule of how much daylight we have. And write it on your calendar so you don't have to look it up in the middle of the summer when you're really busy. And then pay attention and maybe make notes.
And think about it. And that's the time of year when we're driving on the highway and overnight there's dandelions.
It's true.
Overnight the rhubarb explodes out of the garden bed. Overnight the chives just burst into flower. And that is that's that sweet spot of 10 hours when things are, we're starting to rise towards the summer solstice in June, when we have crazy amounts of daylight. But in the spring, that's what's really encouraging that growth and that rising energy. Mm-hmm. And then when the light starts to wane, you think that's when the leaves start to change. Mm-hmm. And
we get to where we are today of, you know, the least amount of light. And mm-hmm. don't we all just want to stay in bed and cozy up to the fire and mm-hmm. look at seed catalogs, maybe? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Some of us like to dream about it. Actually, it's still a little early for me to be dreaming about gardening. I'm ready to be done with it until spring happens. So,
but it's a good time to be dreaming about buying friends little gardening gifts.
True.
As gifts of this holiday time of year, of sharing the joy of planting. And
there's no question that this is the time of year also to be thinking and planning and saying, oh, I'm going to do this different next mm-hmm. year, or reading about mm-hmm. stuff. Mm-hmm. This is the time to do research. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. well, thank you so much, Mandy.
Thank
it's been
Margo.
Really interesting. And happy solstice.
Happy solstice.
Okay.